10 o'clock on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan in for Jeff Blair. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick. Straight ahead, Lance Hornby, Leafs beat writer for the Toronto Sun. Leafs make a big front office shuffle yesterday and sign David Booth. Play probably on the second line.
Booth's
David
kind of
Booth.
Second line. Oh, okay.
Second line winger.
Is that a commentary on the Leafs? Do you think he'll be a second line guy? He'll be their Mason Raymond.
He has scored 30 goals in the NHL, but you know how I feel about guys who score points on bad teams. He did it with the Florida Panthers.
Someone's got to do it.
Right.
Booth is a bit of an odd character from what I hear. I was watching Connected this morning with Cebulski and Cameron, and they were talking about how he likes to walk a tightrope, and there's a video of him apparently walking a tightrope. If that was him. I don't know if they were joking around or something, but... Yeah, he walks a tightrope and he goes like fishing and hunting.
And again, maybe a low risk, high reward signing for the Maple Leafs, just $1.1 million. And, you know, maybe he'll pay off in spades for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Hopefully it's another Mason Raymond situation because that worked out well last year. You know, they didn't retain him, but they didn't want to pay him that much anyway, and I don't blame him. So,
kind
of. Hopefully it'll be the same kind of situation. Yeah, Lance is going to join us later on in the hour. Well, he claims the Minnesota Vikings cut him in May 2013 due to his vocal support of same-sex marriage. An investigation done by the Minnesota Vikings claims otherwise, that it was for only football reasons. NFL punter Chris Cluey joining us on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Chris, thanks for joining us once again. And let's be clear that this lawsuit that you're moving forward with, and I believe you're moving forward with it today, is to get the truth out there or to get more of the details of this investigation that was done out there.
Yeah, and the interesting thing to note is that the full report is 150 pages with 1,600 pages of footnotes, and the Vikings released a summary of that that is only 29 pages long. And only three of those 29 pages deal with the actual subject of the report, Mike Prefert. The other 26 deal with the person who brought the complaint, which is me.
Chris, when are we going to see this entire report? When can we get a chance to leaf through everything?
I don't know. That's part of the lawsuit. The litigation is to make this full report public because the NFL has set that precedent in both the Saints Bountygate situation and the Jonathan Martin situation in Miami, that full transparency is what they're looking for.
Are you looking for, I wouldn't call it a gain, but is there anything financial about your pursuit here?
No, not for me personally. We'll be going for max damages because businesses seem to only understand their bottom line. But every penny that is awarded to me, I will be donating to LGBTQ charities.
Hmm. Chris, how frustrating is it, though, to have a view like that, which is a very normal view? People should have the right to express themselves and how they want to, and if they want to marry somebody of the same sex, they should have every right to do so. How frustrating is it just to have a normal view of things in 2014?
It is kind of frustrating because it is a basic human right to be able to live your life free of interference, and we're making strides in the right direction here in the U.S., but we still have plenty more that we need to do. I mean, Tony Dungy's recent comments kind of speak to that. But I'm hopeful that this will be another step towards more tolerance and just showing that this kind of atmosphere, whenever it happens, it needs to be fixed.
Chris, let's go back. You and I have spoken on a couple of occasions, and I've enjoyed our conversations. I recall one that we had back in June of last year, and this was after the Minnesota Vikings had let you go. And I had asked you if that release had anything to do with your viewpoint on same-sex marriage. And Chris, here's what you had to say back in June of last year.
Well, I just don't know. I'm not in the meetings between the GM and the coaches. You know, I don't know what's said, what the rationale is, you know, for releasing me. So it's something that all I can do is trust in my body of work over the last 8 years, which has been very, very good for the Vikings, and go out and just keep proving that I still have what it takes.
So then, Chris, that was in June of last year. Then fast forward to the beginning of this year, and asked, I think, pretty much the same question. And your answer had changed to a point where now this is your claim that the Vikings had cut you back in May 2013 due to that vocal support of same-sex marriage that you had. I want to know what happened. What did you learn between when we spoke in June to when your answer had changed earlier this year?
Well, the fact is that I had always suspected that I'd been released from my activism, but if I said that in the media out loud, then there would be no chance that I would get a chance to try to prove my physical talent on the football field. And that's why I was very careful with how I answered, is that I don't know. I honestly don't know what was said in those meetings, but I would really like to find out. And that's what this investigation should hopefully show.
Chris, you mentioned the Tony Dungy comments in regards to Michael Sam and Tony Dungy obviously putting his foot in his mouth. Is the NFL ready for Michael Sam?
I think the NFL is ready for Michael Sam in specific situations, and I think the Rams is one of those situations where it all comes down to leadership. It all comes down to who your head coach is, who your GM is, who that upper management is, and them making it clear that an atmosphere of discrimination will not be tolerated. I mean, they're the ones in charge. They have the power to ensure that Michael Sam is treated fairly.
And more on the details that you're trying to get released. It's a Vikings investigation, but the details come from a third party, correct?
Correct. It was an independent investigation, although they were hired by the Vikings. I think it's important to note that. And the interesting thing is the summary was written by another third party, and in that, they actually conclude that I was fired because of my activism. Now, they try to draw a fine line and say it wasn't because of the content of the activism, but I think that's a specious argument, and I think the courts will see it the same way.
Some of the details that came out did not paint you in a good light, of course, and you expect that with an investigation like this, with a fight like this. And I think you know of what I speak, and I want to know what you have to say about it. It's a joke that you had made about Penn State and about the Jerry Sandusky case. And you've come out since the release of those details, and you've apologized for that.
Correct. It was a joke I made with my strength coach, Tom Canavy, and I felt that we had a relationship where we could make jokes with each other, because we had. We told each other off-color jokes, and the intent of the joke was to make fun of the culture at Penn State and not the victims of what happened, because that's reprehensible. I would never do that. And like I said, If I offended people, I'm sorry. That was not what I meant to do.
Chris, what would you say to those people who don't know this entire story and hear the fact that you did make that unfortunate comment about Penn State, and as you mentioned, not talking about the victims as well? But what would you say to those people that's saying, well, you can't have it both ways, Chris Cluey?
I would say that we should look at the full report and see everything that's in there, because I know that I told the investigators what the reasoning was and how the joke was intended to be taken. And I would be curious to see what else Tom Canavy said and what questions he was asked. And then also just the timeline. I mean, this wasn't something that was happening while I was doing activism. This happened in 2011. And, it's not something I would do right now.
Chris Prefer, your former special teams coordinator, has gotten a 3-game suspension, and if all goes well in any kind of rehabilitation, that it could be whittled down to 2. You're not happy with that?
No, I felt that he should have been suspended anywhere from 4 to 8 games, which I felt was fair, again, in the precedent that the NFL itself set. In the Saints situation, you had a head coach suspended for a year, a position coach suspended indefinitely, and then in the Miami situation with Jonathan Martin, the offensive line coach and the head trainer were both fired. So I felt that a 4 to 8 game suspension would be appropriate and would be in line with the NFL's personal conduct policy. I mean, you see players getting suspended for 4 games for smoking weed or driving drunk.
Chris, just comment quickly about the double standard the NFL has. We see guys like Jim Irsay get pulled over with $30,000 in cash, a whole bag full of prescription meds, and we still don't see any repercussions of that because maybe he's an owner of an NFL franchise. But Roger Goodell and the NFL is quick to strike on players for their conduct as well. Is there a double standard in the NFL?
Yeah, I believe there is, and it's not just that. I think it's an entire hierarchical structure where power corrupts and allows you to get away with more. And when you look at from the player side, guys who are massively talented are allowed to get away with things even if it means they're a horrible human being, simply because they can run faster than someone else or catch a football or throw it farther. And you see it with the owners where, you know, if Jim Irsay gets to get away with something where players would be, you know, disciplined for that, and we still haven't heard anything. And so I think it's just a natural human nature where you tend to let people who you feel have more power than you or are somehow better at something than you, you let them get away with more.
Mentioned special teams coordinator a moment ago. It should be Mike Prefer. I said Chris Prefer by accident. I apologize for that. Now, in talking about the Minnesota Vikings, do you believe that there is, it's not just an issue with one person or two that you might think there is, but there's an issue with the organization as a whole?
Well, I think that might be something in the report that we would like to see, because if the report showed that there is a culture that allowed this to happen and tried to cover it up, then that culture needs to be addressed and changed.
Are you launching this or filing this lawsuit today, Chris?
I don't know. That's up to my attorney.
Okay. What do you think the future of your NFL career is going to be?
I think it's pretty much over at this point.
You think so?
I'm staying in shape, and I can still go out and punt, but punters are always viewed as replaceable in the NFL, and especially if you get a reputation as a punter, like I have, as someone who speaks out, and teams are just going to say, you know what, we don't want to deal with it. We don't care if he can do the job, and we just don't want him around.
Chris, isn't that just reminiscent of what we just heard out of Tony Dungy, that he said he wouldn't draft a guy like Michael Sam just for the distraction? And you're a guy who's just speaking his mind. You're just for people to have basic human rights, and you get blackballed in the NFL because of an opinion that many, many people share in North America as a whole. And that's the reason why you can't kick for another team in the NFL. How frustrating is it for a guy like you who still can get it done on the football field?
Well, it's frustrating, but it's also part of society, and it's a part of society that I hope changes at some point, where we understand that the pursuit of money is not more important than the pursuit of basic human rights.
Is this your life now, like the lawsuit? Because, you know, we've talked, Chris, we talked about your book that you had just written at the time, and you've got other ideas for books that you were working on, others that you're musically gifted as well, if I recall. Is there anything else that you're doing right now? If you're not footballing, if you're not kicking, is it just the lawsuit and nothing else right now? Is this your life?
No, I'm doing a whole lot more. My wife is a social worker. She got a job at a group home near our house as a therapist. So I get to do the stay-at-home dad thing and take care of my kids, and gives me lots of time to write. And, I'm just looking for whatever life holds.
Chris, has any of your former teammates reached out to you for support, or has some of your former teammates, you know, kind of gave you that hate text message? Kind of, what are you doing, Chris? Just let this go.
No, I haven't had any communications. It's one of those things where if they agree or disagree, they see what happened with what I did and how me speaking out, you know, kind of led to what happened. And so they're just going to fly under the radar.
Have you thought of playing in the CFL?
Nice. I have, actually. I've had a lot of people suggest that to me. And I have to say, the idea of being able to score points as a punter actually really appeals to me.
Yeah.
We'll talk it over with my wife and I, and we'll see what happens.
Chris, you know, it's a larger ball here in the CFL, and it's only crazy three-down football. Would it be like booting a soccer ball?
Yeah, I think it's closer to a rugby ball, right?
And it's pretty big. It's bigger than an NFL football, that's for sure. You're going to have to get used to that.
That would be pretty sweet then, because that means it's a larger sweet spot and easier to get good puns.
There you go. That's looking at the positive. Chris, a pleasure having you on. Wish you the best. Hope things turn out well for everybody involved, in that goals are reached in all of this, and that, I hope, whether it's specific to you, to the Minnesota Vikings, to NFL football, that we're better for this experience, thanks to yourself, to the Minnesota Vikings, to the NFL, and to the investigators. Thank you, Chris, for this. Appreciate it. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. There's Chris Cluey, hoping to get back into the NFL or the CFL, what have you.
Right.
Like I said, he could do a whole number of things, but whatever the outcome is, and I like Chris. We don't know what the truths are. I want to see more details of the investigation. Knowledge is a good thing. So I want to see more out of this. But in the end, I hope we can fast forward and then look back at this time and say, can you believe that had to actually happen? That we've got this tolerance now where that sort of thing, you can't even imagine that sort of thing happening. So hopefully the results one way or another is just going to make for a better society, not just in the world of sports, but otherwise.
And how telling was it when I asked him about if any of his former teammates have actually, reached out to him and said, hey, good job here, I support you, or, I don't think you should be saying this to the ownership or the management. Just one way or the other, players are just afraid to speak their mind because they don't want to be put in his situation right now, which is very disappointing in 2014, that they play in a league where you can't speak your mind freely because you're worried that you'll get blackballed as a whole in the NFL and you'll be out of the league sooner than later. It's got to be extremely frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think there is an opportunity to do that and not attach yourself with someone that's in the middle of a lawsuit or about to pursue a lawsuit. So I think there are those opportunities. But, whatever you might think of Chris, or if you're taking a side or whatever, he's taking a stance on something. And it very much looks like it could be at the expense of his career.
It's 10:18 on the Jeff Blair Show. In for Jeff Blair, that's Jeff Salmon. My name is George Rusick. Joining us now on the line, talking a little Leafs. He covers the Toronto Maple Leafs for the Toronto Sun. Lance Hornby here on the Jeff Blair Show. Lance, thanks for jumping on. Crazy happenings at MLSC yesterday. We see Poulin and Loisel get the axe for a young 28-year-old assistant GM in Kyle Dubas. And before we talk about David Booth, but do Maple Leaf fans need to maybe pump the brakes just a little bit on Kyle Dubas, and that this guy with his analytics is just going to change the entire philosophy of the Toronto Maple Leafs? It is a good move. They have a little bit perspective, but he's the assistant GM, and maybe we should just, curb our enthusiasm and expectations of this 20-year-old guy who still has a lot to learn in this business.
Well, I got to admit, gentlemen, it was a quite an eye-opener to see the rock star / playoff treatment for an announcement for an assistant GM yesterday. There were a ton of people at the ACC yesterday for the press conference, but it was a very significant move. I mean, this kid is, some like to call him, could be GM of the Leafs one day, and I think it is quite the shift, as you mentioned, in thinking with this team. Progressive is the word that's been tossed around the past couple of days, and I think this certainly brings a new perspective. Maybe too much on the analytics, and I think if you're looking for anybody to sort of ease people into what this sort of new statistical information is that so many teams are turning to these days, you couldn't ask for a better interpreter than this guy. He's kind of like the Rosetta Stone, I guess, as far as interpreting this for a lot of people in the business who are old school and are trying to grasp it. But I think yesterday when he came on, he was, as Brendan Shanahan said, one of the people who can explain it best to people and sort of ease people into how these stats are used. And they're not the be-all and the end-all, but they're certainly going to be a good addition, I think, to any team that hopes to improve.
I had a person tweet me yesterday, and he used the hashtag MoneyPuck. It was Jason. Thank you, Jason, on Twitter. He hashtagged MoneyPuck. It's the first I had heard of that. Maybe you had heard that.
That's not
already.
That clever. MoneyPuck.
MoneyPuck. That's funny.
That's not. No.
What don't you like about it?
And it's just not that clever.
I think it
Mind
is.
You, I can't think of anything clever to say right,
right
now.
Right, exactly.
But that's not that clever.
Exactly. But maybe it speaks to the expectations that Leaf fans might have in seeing the success, of course, with Moneyball and the Oakland A's from back in the day. And, of course, they still have their GM, Billy Beane. Do you think that expectations might be a little higher today, given everything that we now know about the new assistant GM?
Well, the Billy Beane comparison was made yesterday, and Kyle was very, very emphatic that that's a little strong. He reminded people that a lot of these statistics are still in their infancy, still, and I guess the refreshing part is this is not just some nerd who walked in from Harvard. He's a kid who grew up around the game. His grandfather coached the Sioux Greyhounds before he was Kyle himself as a GM. His dad worked for the team. He comes from a hockey family, and I think he knows a lot of players, I think, and certainly knows the value of the eye test, for lack of a better word, in terms of scouting players. And I think he painted a couple of scenarios where analytics might come in handy when you want to use a kid that looks overmatched on a line, but because you can apply some of these new stats, Corsi, Fenwick, or whatever they're called, a matchup that may not seem to be a good one, on the ice, on paper, could be so. And I guess until you see some of that come out in the next few years and get a chance to test their validity, you have to respect teams like the Leafs who are moving this direction. Other clubs have added people who have analytics right in their job description, right in their title. So league seems to be moving that way. It may be maybe a while before it gains wide acceptance, but why not give it a try? And I think if that turns around things for the Maple Leafs, certainly their long star fans aren't going to argue.
Lance, we heard the word, the buzzword in this city and around the NHL now, culture change for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we all assume that obviously it would come from the dressing room and maybe shake things up for the players who are actually going to play on the ice. And if they were going to do a move upper management-wise, they'll probably bring in an experienced hockey guy. But this is really what kind of Brendan Shanahan was brought in to do, maybe shake things up a little bit. And if this doesn't, reek of culture change, I don't know what does.
Well, you know what? He was very forceful yesterday in saying he doesn't want a lot of yes men. It may be the just the correct thing to say in the middle of summer before the team gets on the ice, but he wants a group of people who are going to challenge his ideas. And let's face it, this is Shanahan's not exactly, for all he's done in hockey, is not a well-versed team president on the management side. I think he knows a lot about the game, but he's still fairly new at this as well. So, why not get some people in who are going to offer some different ideas? And Kyle Dubas is certainly that way. I think Shanahan still has a lot to learn from David Nonis as well, who's been around the game a long time. Shanahan said there's another hire coming. I think the Leafs need somebody to run the Marlies specifically. There's a lot of great prospects coming up there, and they'll need the right touch, I think, both behind the bench and from management. So, you know what? It's interesting. I mean, people said they needed a change. Whether it's a winning culture change, we'll have to see. But it's certainly something new. And if they're not going to bring in big names because of the salary cap, at least they're trying something new.
With Lance Hornby of the Toronto Sun on the Jeff Blair Show. It's George Russick. I'm Jeff Sambit, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Lance, from a Leafs perspective, I get it. From Shanahan's perspective, I get the move in bringing this kid in. I call him a kid. He's 20 years old. But I feel like he's a kid because I'm significantly older than 20 years old. So you bring him in, and you fire Loisel and Poulin. From a timing standpoint, I get it from Shanahan's point of view because he needs time. He hired in April. He needs time to get acclimated into the organization, to make his evaluations from top to bottom, and then move on from there. It's going to take some time. I get that. But the timing, I don't think, is good for Loisel and Poulin, because I feel that the jobs, for the most part, are put in place, that everybody's assigned to what their duties are with respect to all the organizations in the NHL. Everything's put in place. I don't think there are many jobs out there for Loisel and Poulin, and it puts them in a bad situation, don't you think?
Well, yeah, to a certain degree, you're right. Most teams get their hiring done just before the draft or soon after. We're now into the third week of July, and that doesn't leave a lot of options. However, I think you know, whenever somebody comes in like Shanahan with a mandate to change things, I'm sure both the gentlemen you mentioned were looking over their shoulders to a degree. I thought Luzel was very good as assistant GM and capologist and handling a lot of the contracts. Poulin, I think, deserves a lot of credit for what the Marlies did and, you know, what the amateur scouts and pro scouts did under his direction. I think both will land on their feet somewhere. Unfortunately, because of the timing of this, it may not be this season.
He covers the Maple Leafs for the Toronto Sun. Lance Hornby here on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff. I'm George. You talk about capologist, Lance, and clearly, hopefully, Kyle Dubas can figure things out for the Maple Leafs. Because right now, Lance, as we stand this morning, the Leafs have $6.6 million in cap space. And, oh, yeah, they still have to sign James Reimer and Jake Gardner to contract as well. And we saw the Maple Leafs get cap strong last season when they tried to acquire a guy like Thomas Vanek for the stretch run to try to sneak into the playoffs. Lance, this team's going to be right up against the cap and potentially miss the playoffs. Do you see maybe a lot more shuffle here? And if not, man, bring in a capologist, too, to try to fix this mess.
Well, you know what? They've almost really since the cap era came in when John Ferguson was running things, it seemed like they've been up against it. They had some breaks last year. They were willing to take some salary away from other teams, but the cost of doing business was getting into the race to sign David Clarkson, which obviously cost them a lot, to re-sign Dion Phaneuf for better or for worse. At the time they did it, I don't think there was a lot of people complaining because veteran defensemen on many teams were being locked up, and certainly you want a vote of confidence in your team and your captain. Certainly Phaneuf's play slipped down the backside in March and April, but a lot of Leafs did as well. So part of that is the cost of doing business. You're right; they've only got about $6.6 million left, and they have to bring Reimer and Gardner into the equation. But they've made some low risk moves. Santorelli, Booth, the Finnish player, Komarov's back. I mean, I think there is potential there for players to prove themselves, and maybe the Leafs can get some bargain years out of them headed towards bigger contracts. Well, but at this point, I'm not sure if there's going to be great on-ice improvement.
Well, talk about bargains. Last year, for $1 million, they got 19 goals and 45 points out of Mason Raymond. Spent about $1 million on David Booth this year. Are you expecting Booth to be the new Raymond?
Well, I got a lot of not as much faith, I guess, that Booth can do it. I think he had some injury issues. Never quite got back to that 31 goal pace he had with Florida. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember now if he had some connection to Peter Horacek when the new assistant coach when he was in the Florida organization. But I think they're hoping that they do get some value out of there. Certainly, a player like Booth has a lot to prove. I was told that he and Shanahan met several years ago when he was at school in Michigan, and Shanahan made a great impression on him, which is one of the reasons he was interested in signing with the Leafs. He will be playing closer to home. He's from Detroit, and that may have a positive effect as well. He's been pretty well as far as you can get playing in Florida and Vancouver away from that area. So who knows? And I think they really like having Komarov back. I think there's a great potential there in Santorelli to continue the good year he was having before getting injured. Again, a lot of they're hoping that a lot of little moves add up to something big.
Lance, you talk about his career high in 08-09 with the Panthers. He scored 31 goals. The closest he got was 2 years later when he scored 23 in a full 82-game schedule. Do we sometimes forget that, yeah, he has scored 30 goals, but he's a guy who has scored 30 goals in a season in the NHL instead of actually being a guy who can consistently score 30 goals in a season? There's a big difference between that, and maybe Maple Leaf fans should maybe, pump the brakes on a guy who if he gets maybe somewhere around 15 to 20 goals, that would be a successful signing by Dave Nonis.
I guess so. I mean, I guess the most closest example I can think of is Jason Blake. I think he got 40 with the Islanders, and everybody thought he was going to, get at least, 20, 30 with the Leafs. Didn't work out, of course. But, Booth's injuries have been the main thing. Still fairly young. I think he's only 29. He still might be able to contribute a bit. It'll be interesting to see how that whole bottom six shakes out with the new players they've added, plus
Komarov coming back, Carter Ashton, and some of the Marlies played really well in the long playoff run. And of course, if Randy Carlyle has a say, either Colton or Fraser McLaren will have a spot there as well. So it should be interesting to see how that whole bottom six shakes out.
Well, Marlies head coach Gord Dineen is going to join us in a half hour's time. And Shanahan had talked a few weeks ago to the media about wanting to have competition for some jobs. And we seem to be of the belief, generally speaking, that some Marlies can break through. And Gord Dineen's a big believer in his players and feel that he's got a bunch of NHLers on his club with the Marlies. Do you feel the same way, that there are a few Marlies that are down there that are looking to break through with the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, you know what, I certainly had a great vantage point for that, covering them in the playoffs through Milwaukee, through Chicago, and Texas. Ultimately, had a chance to go to the Calder Cup final that when Steve Spott was coach, with a team that not many people had given much of a chance to. So I got a really good chance to see the improvement in Carter Ashton, to see how well Peter Holland played. You know, Trevor Smith obviously has something to offer the Leafs, and they got to add him, I guess, into that bottom six mix. So there are a number of players, I think, who can make a push there. I think the Greg McKeggs and such people, Sam Carrick, might be a year away, but I think in 2 years they're really looking at Connor Brown, last year's OHL Player of the Year, to make a big impact. He was not with the Marlies last year, maybe for a game or two at the end, but I think in 2 years this kid's going to make a good push as well.
Covers the Leafs for the Toronto Sun, Lance Hornby. Lance, thanks for doing this. Enjoy maybe a quieter day with the Maple Leafs, but you just never know. Maybe the Dion Phaneuf trade breaks today, Lance. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you, Lance. Hey, you never know.
Yesterday
was at this time,
right,
where we found out about the news of their new assistant GM.
And again, to me, David Booth is a guy, and we talk about he scored 31 goals with the Florida Panthers in the 08-09 season, and somebody's got to score points on a bad team, and nobody was the epitome of that with this Maple Leafs team than a guy like Mikhail Grabowski, a guy who put up a lot of points when the Maple Leafs were struggling, and everybody was saying, oh, you can't let this guy go when they bought him out. But to me, David Booth is a guy like that, cashed in big time as a free agent. The Canucks decide to buy this guy out, but $1.1 million for a guy, maybe he works out, maybe he doesn't, low risk, high reward, but that number, Jeff, only $6.6 million left in cap space for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they still got to sign James Reimer and Jake Gardner. It's all about managing your cap now in the NHL, and the Maple Leafs seemingly year in, year out, always cap strong, always finding ways to move this guy, move that guy, trying to acquire talent, yet always overpaying a little too much for guys that maybe shouldn't be making that amount of money.
I wonder if they'll attempt to free up $3.3 million on the blue line. Which is not to say they won't take any money back, but what of the future of Cody Franson now that he signed?
I would be shocked if they take more money. They already ate some of Carl Gunnarsson's contract. They're eating some of Tim Gleason's contract as well.
In that he would be traded for someone.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be someone that's costing them $3.3 million, but less than that.
To me, that just feels like a deadline deal if they're going to get rid of Cody Franson. It just feels that way to me. But
yeah,
if they're in the thick of a playoff race, I don't think they're trading Cody Franson, because I think this team is desperate once again to do what the Maple Leafs always do, just try to get into the playoffs. And Cody Franson, I just can't see them trading him if they're in the thick of a playoff race, Jeff.
Yeah, we've talked about Cody Franson this week, and with him, you're right about it probably being a deadline deal, because if the Leafs are out of it, or they feel like they're out of it, or they just, for whatever reason, they feel they need to trade Cody Franson, that there would be a team, a playoff team, a contender, that might look at him at a 5-6 defenseman and a very nice rental. And I think he could be regarded as that.
And good luck to the team next July 1st who's going to give Cody Franson north of $4 million for or 5 years.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's probably going to happen. Given
probably it will happen,
given what we just saw this past July 1st.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
After Roman Ginla contract, I'm still shaking my head. Unfortunately, with all the Maple Leafs news yesterday, we had to ditch Campy Russell, but he'll join us next. Studio analyst, director of alumni relations for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't know if you heard, but they had a big summer. We'll talk about the Cavaliers and their big summer straight ahead, and Andrew Wiggins, the Canadian content there. As the Jeff Blair Show continues, that's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, in for Jeff Blair. That's Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick. If there's anything as classy at a wedding when this song comes on and people like to interject their own lyrics, nothing is classy after you've had a few shots at the old shot table when you walk into a wedding. Then the DJ decides to play this song later on in the night. I think you all know what I'm talking about.
This song works at the Air Canada Center. It seems to get people going during Raptor games.
Sure.
Seems to work.
Right. I just like the made-up lyrics in between.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Straight ahead, he's the head coach of the Toronto Marlies. Gord Dineen will join us, talk about his new gig as the head coach of the Toronto Marlies. But joining us now on the line, Campy Russell, studio analyst, director of alumni relations for the Cleveland Cavaliers on the Jeff Blair Show. Campy, thanks for jumping on today. I don't know if you've heard, Campy, but you guys have had a pretty good summer.
There's no doubt we've had a pretty good summer, you know, and I know you're saying that, you know, saying this sarcastically, but, you know, when you get a player back like LeBron coming back home, you know, that adds a lot of excitement to Northeast Ohio as well as the state of Ohio. So, you know, LeBron is, as we all know, one of the best players on the planet. And because of that, there's definitely been a lot of excitement.
What is going on as far as the future is concerned with Andrew Wiggins? Do you feel the Cavs are preparing themselves for at least exploring the possibility of dealing Wiggins and looking at acquiring Kevin Love out of Minnesota?
Well, you know, I'm not sure, you know, what their, you know, thoughts are about that, you know, to be honest with you. I know, you know, one of the things that we've always, or our management in terms of Dan Gilbert as well as our general manager, David Griffin, I think, you know, they've always had the attitude that they're going to always explore a lot of different things. But in terms of what they're trying to do, I have no idea. And I think I would be trying to, speaking out of school for the most part, and trying to anticipate what their plans are. But I would like to say, I think, you know, when you look at the whole thing, I just think that they're just trying to explore all possibilities with the objection of trying to make our Cavalier team a much better team going forward and being relevant for an extended period of time.
Campy, I'm sure you've heard of the Jason Whitlock comments that Canadian basketball players, and I'm paraphrasing, don't want it as much as American players or even European players. And clearly, Cleveland, and we joke about it here in Canada, that it's the Canadian team down south that everybody's pulling for. Obviously, Tristan Thompson, Anthony Bennett, and Andrew Wiggins as well. What's your take on Jason Whitlock's comments?
Well, I don't have a take on it because I think, you know, if you look at, you know, throughout the country, you know, whether it's U.S., whether it's in Canada, whether it's throughout the world, you know, there are basketball players all over. And I just think it just boils down to understanding, you know, what drives them. And based upon what drives them will determine on how successful they will be, you know, whether it's in the NBA or what have you. So I just think that may be a statement that's not really worth even trying to deal with because, again, you know, that's his great opinion. And I just think that, you know, there are great basketball players and solid basketball players all over this world. And it's just a matter of them being in the right system and growing their own games and being curious enough to make themselves very good players on whatever level that they're on.
Well, certainly it can't be a coincidence, Campy, that the Cavs organization has certainly fallen in love with the Canadian player, given the number of Canadians that are on the club and trying to make the club and be successful with this club. You know, much like in other sports, if you're talking hockey, baseball, football, what have you, do you feel that the organization has certainly taken note of Canadians in basketball north of the border and will continue to look north for more players?
I'm not sure. You know, I think the league is just looking for players wherever they are. You know, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in Brazil, whether it's in Canada, you know, they're just looking at, because this is a world game, I just think that they are open to wherever talent is. You know, so I can't say that the Cavaliers is making a conscious effort to draft players or pay more attention to the Canadians or what have you. I just think as a league, even the Cavaliers are part of this league, NBA, in our league, they're just looking for players because we know and recognize that there's talent all over this world. So it's just a matter of you just have to do your homework and be diligent and look at wherever players are. You know, so I don't think there's any real target as it relates to Canadian players. I just think it's just a target on wherever good players are.
Fox Sports Ohio pre- and post-game TV analyst, director of alumni relations for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Campy Russell here on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff. I'm George. You talk about an international game as well. David Blatt coming in to be the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. What was your initial reaction when you heard that the Cavs kind of went out of the box there to bring in a new head coach?
Well, you know, I just looked at it in this respect that, you know, that I trust our organization, I trust our ownership, I trust, you know, our general manager, and they, you know, wanted to go outside the box. But as you look at, you know, coach's resume, I think it speaks volumes that he has the ability to coach at all different levels, and he's been successful in a lot of different levels. So in terms of what my thoughts were, you know, I did not know that much about him, to be honest with you. But after having an opportunity to listen to him and kind of be around him, I feel like this is a really good choice that we made here. A guy who, as he says, he's a basketball coach. And to me, I think that speaks volumes because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you start designating guys as being an offensive coach or a defensive coach or what have you, and the thing that struck me is when he said, hey, I'm a basketball coach. I can coach all types of different situations. And the thing I like about him, again, is that he is not jumping to any kind of conclusion as to how he's going to play, what type of style of play. He's, you know, he's been quoted, and I listened to him myself, saying that he wanted to evaluate his team and to see what he has before he determines what type of play that this team is going to play. So to me, I think it sends a great message to everybody to understand that here's the guy that's going to be methodical in what he does, and he wants to make sure that he plays the right way that's going to fit his personnel. So that speaks volumes to the kind of coach that he is, and I really applaud the decision that our ownership as well as our general manager made in terms of bringing coach in here.
Well, with all the talent that was already there in Cleveland mixed with the changes that have been made this offseason, certainly exciting times for the Cavaliers organization, and we're looking forward to seeing what transpires as a result. Campy Russell, studio analyst, thank you, Campy, for this. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. And as always, go Cavs, and we're looking forward to a great year this year.
Looking forward to it, and we'll see you guys, the Cleveland Cavaliers, here in Toronto. George, would you say that the Cavaliers would be the team that you root for, if not for the Raptors?
Well, of course, you know, the Canadian team down south, and you kind of want to see guys like Andrew Wiggins, and you hope that if he is, in fact, still with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he lives up to his potential. A quick hockey note as well. The Avalanche and Rangers have officially announced the signings of Ryan O'Reilly and Chris Kreider. Both are scheduled to have their arbitration hearings today. I was dying to see what Chris Kreider was going to get in arbitration hearing on how he crashes into star goalies and takes them out of the series purposely, and how much money that's actually worth in an arbitration hearing.
Cut a paycheck for that? I could crash the ice.
Oh, that was an accident. The Carey Price incident. That was clearly an accident.
Oh, poor Habs fan.
Gord Dineen, the head coach of the Toronto Marlies, straight ahead. I hate you, Salmon. Gord Dineen, the new head coach of the Toronto Marlies, straight ahead on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff Salmon. My name is George Russick, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.